Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 295 of Dogcast Radio, which is all about making sure your dog has as happy and healthy a Christmas as you do. I guess this advice could apply to any kind of party or gathering you have, because many of the same hazards are posed at other times of year. But of course, at Christmas, we have guests coming and going, lots of food and drink around, perhaps expensive gifts if Santa thinks you've been good all year, and of course, decorations of all kinds, on which subject I'll tell you later about a Christmas decoration mishap one of our dogs had. But basically, we really need to think through how we can keep our canines comfy and cosy, or maybe how we can have Fido-friendly festivities. Let me have fun with alliteration. It's Christmas. Here to tell us more about keeping our pets safe at Christmas is Dr. Paul Manktilo, Chief Vet at National Pet Charity Blue Cross.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, nice to see you.
And you. And you are the Chief Vet at the Blue Cross. And we're going to talk about a really important subject because we're coming up to Christmas. And unfortunately, a lot of the things that we love to have around us and to eat and to look at over Christmas, they do present hazards for our dogs, don't they?
They do, yeah. And, you know, it's such a great time of year. I love Christmas. And that's why I always feel a little bit Scrooge when when this time of year comes around, because, you know, it is important for people to understand and understand the hazards. And I've worked as in veterinary sort of emergencies for, you know, over 20 years now. And Christmas is always the time that you get, you know, the dogs coming in with problems. Because if you think about it, we bring so much new stuff into our house, yeah, don't we? Like, yeah, food, decorations, all that sort of stuff. And pretty much all of that is a hazard because it's shiny and it's new and the dogs want to get involved in it and eat it and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of the things that we specifically bring in can be quite dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And also, I think some of the new things we bring in, they might not be brand new, but they're unusual, should we say, are people who maybe aren't with us all year round, you know, and they've made a journey to see us. But not then you're in a situation where not everybody knows the rules for dogs. And, you know, this happened to us. We were caught out. We had a birthday party for my daughter, for Jenny. And, you know, they were teenagers, but they weren't little children. But some of them didn't live with the dog. And so one of our dogs got hold of them and it was a dark chocolate orange. And so then, oh my goodness, then it was, you know, all the bad side of Christmas. It was like, I mean, I'd say it was a birthday, but like, you know, the recriminations and the tears and the guilt and all of this. And it was, oh, it was just like Christmas. But
yeah, well, exactly,
it is, yeah, absolutely. But it can go wrong in the blink of an eye, can't it? So what specific risks does the season pose for our dogs?
Well, I think you've sort of highlighted one of them there in that we're not always being super vigilant with our dogs, are we?
No.
So we can talk about some of the specific things that can cause hazards, but you know, Christmas is generally quite chaotic, isn't it? There's all sorts of people coming in, new things, new activities, and immediately your dog's routine is disrupted. And all the opportunities start presenting themselves for your dog to, you know, get hold of things that they might not normally be able to. And we ourselves aren't necessarily as vigilant with our dogs either because we're distracted. We're talking to people, we're cooking, we're setting the table, we're doing all that sort of stuff that is outside of a routine. So I think that's probably the biggest risk is that lack of vigilance that you would normally have because, you know, you're so distracted. But then there's all the things, all those delicious things like those dark chocolate oranges that you talked about there. And it's funny because I think awareness of chocolate toxicity is so much better than when I first graduated over 20 years ago. But we have so much of it around at Christmas and it's all that, like you say, that dark chocolate, that posh chocolate. And it's often, you know, wrapped up under the tree in a present that you might not even be aware of. And we leave things out in bowls, don't we, on the table. But yeah, I see a lot of chocolate poisonings over Christmas still, even though people are aware of it. But the good thing is that they know, they get, you know, they see it and they can seek veterinary attention, but it's those opportunities, isn't it? And there's things that, you know, again, people are aware of grapes, raisins, and we know that there have been mince pies, there have been Christmas puddings, again, all these Christmassy foods that are not great for our dogs, unfortunately.
No. And I mean, you can see that, can't you? I mean, I think this is the thing that I like to say to people, everybody that comes in, I sort of say, don't put a mince pie down. If you're going to have a mince pie, eat it. Don't put it down. Because it does fun because it's my go at charades. Oh, I'll put my cup of tea and my mince pie down. And it's mayhem. So it is, as you say, it's constant vigilance. You've got to be on the ball. You know, I sometimes see if there's children, get them to be like the dog police and tell them all the rules. And you must watch it because the adults are going to be a bit silly, but you stay sensible and you help me out, you know.
That's a really good idea, actually. And I hadn't actually thought of it like that, because I often see children sometimes as, you know, the potential, you know, more risk, because they, you know, often do slip the dog a bit of food, don't they? And, you know, when my dog Rodney loves kids and he just follows them around. And I think part of it is because they're, you know, dropping bits and pieces all over the place, aren't they? But at Christmas, if those bits and pieces are chocolate and are, you know, mince pies and things, then you can get into a bit of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, as well as that, we want to give our dogs and all our pets, but we want to give them a treat, don't we? So what's the best way to give them a treat at Christmas?
So I think I would always recommend just feeding them their normal food, but I know nobody's going to listen to me. And and even faced with this myself, I probably will give Rodney his own Christmas dinner. But it's about taking out all the things that can cause problems. So a bit of lean meat. No bones, no fatty skin, and some of the vegetables. Green vegetables, generally fine. Bit of sweet potato, swede, carrot, all that's fine. Bit of mashed potato, a little bit, as long as it's not got a lot of butter in it. But what you want to avoid is things with onions in it. So your stuffing and your gravy, because onions can cause problems with dogs. Anything with leeks or garlics, avoid. And anything that's just really fatty or got a lot of salt content in it. So avoid gravy. I mean, they're going to love it anyway. You know, it's going to be delicious for them. Just a bit of meat and a few veg. But avoid the things that are going to cause tummy upsets or even toxicity. High fat content can stimulate pancreatitis. My last dog, Dolly, she ate a whole cheese board once. She got onto a table and ate a cheese. And she was so well behaved around food. But for Christmas, it almost gave her permission to get on the table and eat this cheese board. And she was fine, but she had a really bad tummy upset for a few days afterwards. Her poos were awful, you know, stinky brie poos. But all that stuff, you know, it's very rich Christmas food. You know how you feel yourself at the end of Christmas Day? You just feel like, oh, you know, and it's not great, especially with dogs that aren't usually used to that sort of food, which I wouldn't recommend anyway, but it can cause lots of gastrointestinal problems.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what strikes me is we do a lot of enrichment for our dogs and we do Kongs, you know, and I'm a big fan of cardboard boxes and putting treats and kibble and whatever in cardboard boxes. So we give our dogs this challenge of this enrichment and then suddenly we're surprised, but he got up on the table, or, you know, she got on the table and got the whatever the food is. But we make them think, we give them these problems to solve normally, and then suddenly it's, don't do that, not today, you know, and it's just different. I mean, saying that, it's not just the food, is it? There's some of our decorations can be dangerous for our dogs.
Oh, absolutely. And you say that we almost give them permission and teach them to be hunting and all that sort of stuff, and that enrichment. But we had a 3-month-old puppy last year that actually ate a Christmas bauble. Thought it was a ball because, you know, we teach them to play with balls. Luckily, the bauble didn't cause any intestinal damage, but that dog was having the most glittery poos that the team had ever seen for sort of 3 days afterwards. But all these decorations, all these moving things, they're all just so exciting, aren't they? And one thing, when Rodney had his first Christmas, I got him and we went down to my mother-in-law's for Christmas, and she wrapped up a present for him, which was some dog treats. And there was all this excitement about him opening the present. He got his own present and let him open it, and he was super excited. So now he thinks that all presents that are wrapped up are for him. So he would happily go around a whole tree and completely unwrap everything just for the thrill of unwrapping that present. So we've just got to be really careful with him, because obviously we made him super excited about it, got him in the Christmas spirit, and now he's like, well, this is all fun and games, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It must be so confusing for them that one day or even 1 hour, it's like, this is a good thing. And then the next hour, don't do that. That's done. We can see it's a different activity, but the poor dog's going, but why? Why? Yeah, but then I do think that with all the, depending on how you do your wrapping, but if there's wrapping paper and boxes, that is a great chance to sort of make some enrichment for them. And perhaps pop them in a different room for a bit. You let them go into the kitchen, or, you know, maybe use a crate, or, you know, I think baby gates, well, dog gates are brilliant just to control them a little bit and control some of the people as well, maybe. And just build in that kind of, if I can't actually watch, if nobody that I trust can be watching, we'll just keep the dog away from some of the people and just have a little bit of control.
That's a really, really good tip, actually. And I often say something similar, because if you think about it, our dogs generally, for the most part of the day, they sleep.
Yes.
We take them out for other exercise. You know, we can, you know, play games to stimulate them mentally and things like that. But for the biggest chunk of the day, they sleep. But if you think about it, Christmas is, there's so much going on. There's people in the house. You'll often find that dogs don't get that sleep, and actually sleep's really important for them.
Yes.
So like you say, giving them a bit of time out, taking them to a quiet room, taking them out of the thrill of the party and whatever games people are playing is really, really important on Christmas Day, I think.
Yeah.
And to give them that rest that they would normally have, because otherwise they can feel quite anxious and overwhelmed, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like you say, you can feel a bit of a Grinch sort of saying, oh, take them out of the fun. But I think maybe turn it around and think, well, actually, I'm meeting their needs. They need this sleep. They're like small children. They're going to be grumpy and miserable, you know, if you don't make sure they get that sleep. So you're actually doing them a favour to give them a bit of peace, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really, really important, especially when you've got visitors and guests to the house and kids as well. I mean, you know, my nephews will, you know, give them a ball and they'll just play with Rodney all day. Literally, they'll just throw this ball for him constantly. And you've got to at some point go, time out now, let him go for a little nap. And he's, you know, completely wired and overwhelmed and excited. And it takes him an hour or two just to sit in a quiet room and just chill out again and calm down.
Yeah, bless. But you have to be the grown-up and sort of say that, don't you? So, having said that, we've said accidents happen and you can think you've got all your bases covered and everything's sorted and then a gate gets left open or the door's open or whatever. If your dog or whatever pet has accessed food or the tree or decoration or whatever and you think they've eaten something they shouldn't have, well, ingested or eaten something they shouldn't have done, what should we do? Because if you've thought it through beforehand, you will know in the panic of the moment, you kind of just go, my dog's going to die. So if we've thought it through first, what should we know?
So if they've eaten a foodstuff that you know is potentially toxic, the first thing I would say is phone your vet straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Your vet might probably won't be open, to be honest, but they will, on their answer machine, they'll have details of which out-of-hours vet. Now, generally, so for example, chocolate's a really good one. So all emergency vets will have almost like a little chart which says what sort of chocolate it is and how much that particular weight of dog would need to eat before they would show signs of toxicity. So if it's a little bit of white chocolate or it's a big dog and has eaten a little bit of milk chocolate, that the out-of-hours centre will be able to tell you whether or not you should be worried or concerned.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a Yorkshire Terrier that's eaten a whole load of, you know, dark chocolate, then absolutely they're going to need to be seen. And the important thing there is to get them there as soon as possible, because that allows us as vets to then induce vomiting and bring the toxin up. Because otherwise, after a couple of hours, it starts being absorbed into the bloodstream. And that's the point at which you dog would need to be admitted and put on fluids, and all that becomes very, very expensive.
Yeah.
So I think urgency is the key for that bit, just for that peace of mind, but also getting that clarification that actually they've eaten a little bit of this, it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that I know dogs have eaten in the past. So chocolate's the one I would always say, bring them down, let's get them to vomit. But other things that, you know, a small bit of this, and the dog isn't necessarily a huge amount of risk, but they'll be able to tell you that when you phone the vets. But I think also in preparation for that is know where your out of hours vets. A lot of people have never used their out of hours service because they haven't needed it, thankfully. So if you know, and it's quite a long period of time that vets will be potentially closed over Christmas as well. So just make sure you know where to go if you need to in advance is the key thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But you're right. I think do it. Don't dither. Don't, because a lot of us, I just pop on social media. What do you think I should do? You know, and you're losing vital time there. So get straight to the vet. They are the people that know the facts, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And also, it's never going to be a convenient time over Christmas because invariably it's going to happen just as, you know, you're serving your Christmas dinner or whatever. But there is this sort of golden window for toxicity ingestions. Now, if they've eaten something like a decoration or a toy, especially if you've got kids, there's all these little bits of toys everywhere and everything, then generally, if it's going to cause a problem in the intestine, a lot of things will just pass through.
Yeah.
If it's something like sharp or something that you're really worried about, then you might want to give your vet a phone. But if it's, you know, sometimes you get these little rubber bits or little bits of plastic. And if you're worried about it, then sometimes it's appropriate to just keep an eye on your dog. And if they start vomiting, then you need to go and see the vets. But with some of these things, depending on what it is, sometimes you can just observe and see if they pass through. But if you're worried, give your vet a ring and they can advise.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's worth mentioning, tinsel can be a real hazard, can't it? And it's lovely and it's beautiful, twinkly stuff, but it can be quite dangerous for our animals, can't it?
Yeah, so I've seen tinsel issues, mostly in cats, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they love the sort of the string element and they play with it. And once they start eating it or chewing it, they have to carry on swallowing it.
Yeah.
And it causes a problem because it works its way through the intestine, but then it sort of anchors somewhere and it bunches the intestine up and causes a really quite nasty obstruction. It's called a linear foreign body. I have seen puppies eat it as well, and playing with it. And I've also seen quite a few dogs chewing on fairy lights and ending up being electrocuted, chewing on the wires. So you've got to be very, very careful there. I've also seen both dogs and cats, interestingly, come in with alcohol toxicity as well. We saw a dog, it was a 7-month-old German Shepherd actually, that managed to tip a bottle of Advocar off the side and had drank it all. The bottle smashed and it drank it all. And I've seen a cat actually that ate half a boozy Christmas cake and came in, you know, showing signs. Because they've got very, very low alcohol sensitivity because they, the alcohol tolerance, should I say, because they obviously it's not something you would ever give your dog or your cat. So they're very sensitive to it. So they do exhibit these signs of being drunk when they drink alcohol, but they're also very confused because they don't understand why they're showing those signs as well. And sometimes they just need to sleep it on off, but because they've got that low tolerance, sometimes they do need treatment as well. And the worst thing I've seen was actually a Shih Tzu that ate a whole huge box of alcohol filled chocolate.
So, oh no, double whammy. Oh.
Yeah, so not only was that poor little dog drunk, but we also had to make it vomit to get all the chocolate up. So poor thing did not have a good Christmas day at all.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. Poor thing. I mean, apart from anything else, I don't really drink, but I do like Advocar. I like a snowball. I'm, you know, that's me. Yeah. So, and I just think, what a waste of Advocar. Put it out of the reach of your dogs and cats, please.
Yeah, Well, again, because all this stuff is extra stuff that we have at Christmas as well. There's not necessarily a place for it. So you often find work surfaces in the kitchen littered with bits and pieces. And I got some mince pies the other day because I like a mince pie. And again, there wasn't space in the cupboard for it. So that was on the kitchen counter as well. So all these things, they don't have space, do they? And interesting.
You're right. And of course, you have loads of people and you have to do all the extra chairs out and everything. Everything's at sixes and sevens and everything's everywhere. So yes, it's it is difficult. I am a big fan of crates and pens. And obviously that it depends on the size of your dog. But crates and pens. And again, just that little bit of forethought. Think it through beforehand. What are the issues that can arise, you know, and just that little bit of planning can really help, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, Rodney's had a crate since he was a puppy, actually, and it's his little safe space. It's a den. It's in the one of the back rooms, and it's under a table, so it's like sort of doubly protected and denned. And he goes and drags all his blankets around and puts them all in there. So sometimes he can struggle to get in it because it's so. But yeah, it's just that time out space, isn't it?
Yes,
it's that time out space. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If he gets told off, he runs in there as well.
Oh, bless him. Bless him. But the other thing with a crate is you can, you know, in extremis, or if you think there's going to be children or somebody that might go, oh, I'll just let the dog out, you can just pop a little lock on there. And so you're absolutely, I'm a control freak, I'll be honest, hands up. I like to be in control. I'd like to try and avoid as many problems as we can. So you could, couldn't you, just be in control and go, right, okay, that's when people are going. You know, we always have a, I mean, there's something else we haven't talked about. The people coming and going and your doors are open. You know, that's another, we always do a two-door system. And so if you open one, you've got to shut the other one. And there's going to be two doors between the animal and the outside world. But again, people coming and going at Christmas, it's chaos, isn't it?
Yeah, it's people popping out to grab something or so. You know, it's just, oh, we'll just go pop out and go for a walk or something like that. And Rodney, my dog, he's actually all right with the door open. He won't go out. But my dad's dog is terrible. Like, she will bolt out that door and be off. I think she escaped a few years ago, and there was a lady a few streets down that was feeding her something, you know, she just bolts for that house all the time. She's remembered years later that that's where she needs to go. And if there's nobody there, she then wanders around. And yeah, it's so stressful, so stressful. So you just got to be super vigilant. It's always a guest to the house that leaves the door open, pops out to the car to get something, and off they go. So you've got to be super careful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you say, it can come across as a bit killjoy, but really it's not. It's just you want everybody to have a really, really happy, great Christmas. And like, you're not going to be happy if something happens to one of your beloved, you know, four-legged family members. So it's just that little bit of thought beforehand, bit of planning, and hopefully any crisis and can be avoided. So where can people get good advice online?
So I'm great. Obviously, I'm, you know, the Blue Cross website where we've got vets, behaviourists, we've got experts in all sorts of areas. So I would always say pop to the Blue Cross website because there's a whole host of experts that contribute to the content there. We're also running a Christmas campaign this year as well, an appeal, really just because, you know, the advice I always give out is to keep pets safe and happy in their homes. But there's a lot of pets that don't have a home this Christmas. So we are running an appeal for that critical first night when pets come into our care. We are seeing an increase in pets being relinquished, which is understandable. Like, people are in a cost of living squeeze. There's all sorts of factors. People are falling on hard times. And but just, you know, having a thought for those pets that don't have a home this Christmas. So we're doing an appeal to help them. And again, the details of that are on the website as well.
Yeah. And there's information there, isn't there, for anybody who's considering adopting, sort of what the rehoming process is like. There's information there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a very good team that sort of do that matching where, you know, they will match a dog from its specific personality and your lifestyle, which is really, really super important, because a lot of the reasons that pets are relinquished is because the owners can't cope with their circumstances. It's very easy to go and get a pet, isn't it? But it's not as easy to look after it for its lifetime. They're experts at that as well. But another great initiative that we started a while ago was actually fostering as well. So these are, if people that might not necessarily want to commit to having a pet full time. So there's a lot of people, I was speaking to a dog foster the other day, who's a retired couple who are very experienced at having dogs, but are now wanting to travel a lot in their retirement. But they offer their home up to foster dogs, and they've had loads of dogs through, but because they're quite experienced, they are able to offer unique insight into that dog and the forever home that it should have. So I think that's another really great way of experiencing the joy of having dogs without the permanent commitments of it as well.
Yeah. And I think there's two ways that can be good. Obviously, people that volunteer as fosterers and remain as fosterers and pass the, you know, the dog gets adopted to somebody else and then they take another animal in. That's such an important and rewarding job to do. But obviously, there's sometimes animals that we call sort of failed fosters, don't we? And they stay with their foster and their fosterer becomes their person. And either way, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to do. And you're helping an animal, either way, you're helping an animal become, you know, find their forever home, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think it takes a really specific type of person, not just to want to adopt them all, yeah. Really, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But then obviously they're not able to foster future dogs, are they? So
yeah.
I think it works really well for some people, especially when it suits their lifestyle. But yeah, they do a great job, and and we wouldn't be able to rehome all the animals that we do without them, really.
Yeah. No, I think it's a really good thing, and like you say, some animals, but we'll say dogs. Some dogs just need that extra little bit of help and support to adapt and become the best pet that they can be. You know, they might have behaviour issues or whatever it is. But because I think it works really well because the fosterer knows they're going to put all that work in. It's not going to be forever. And then they can, you know, the animal will go on and find their forever home. But equally, the forever adopter knows that animal is going to come having lived in a home and having got used to being in a home.
Yeah, I mean, I met one of our fosterers a few weeks ago, actually, who had were fostering a ex-racing greyhound.
Yeah.
And that dog had never seen its own reflection in a mirror.
Oh.
It had never been up and down stairs before, because obviously it was born in kennels as well. Yeah. And it was a lovely natured dog. It was absolutely lovely. But all those things had to be sort of introduced. So those fosterers have been working with this dog and it had come on leaps and bounds. It was absolutely great. And they were like, oh, you know, this is a perfect dog now for rehoming. But it's just some of those things that you just don't think about. The conditions or the circumstances that pet has come from are not always going to be the forever home circumstances. So it's good that they have that transition, that adaptation, again, from people that are willing to put a bit of time and effort into them and help them along the way.
Definitely. Fosterers are wonderful people. I think all of us that, you know, love our animals and give them the best life we can, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. But fosterers, to pour all that love in and then, you know, wish them on their way and to a better, you know, a better life and with their permanent owner, I think that's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. I think if I could convince Rodney to share anything, then I would definitely be considering it. But he's definitely the main event at our house, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. But I think it's a wonderful thing to do, but you need to acknowledge what you can do. And, you know, some of us can foster and some of us can donate, whether it's time or money or whatever it is. You know, we can all help in different ways. And that's, you know, if we all do what our passion is and what we can help with, that's how the world turns, I think. So
exactly.
There we go. So is there anything else that you'd like to say, Paul?
No, I just think obviously keep tabs on the work that we're doing at Blue Cross. We have a number of services that are supporting many different species across their whole life cycles. We've got veterinary services, rehoming and fostering behaviour, pet food banks. We have our responsible dog ownership scheme and our pet loss support line as well, which is helping people who are experiencing grief through the loss of a pet. Just keep following our work. We're always out there talking about work and helping and supporting people at every stage of their pet's journey.
Yeah, you are. And it's wonderful. I have to say, I've joined the Facebook group, the Pet Loss Facebook group.
It's great, isn't it?
And it's really nice to be with like-minded people, because grief is horrible and it flares up and it's really raw. And to be with other people who support you and to also be able to support them and share your experiences, it's really, really a wonderful support to have. So thank you ever so much for that. Thank you. And I hope all dogs and people have a wonderful, happy, healthy, safe Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Blue Cross is a wonderful charity. Buddy, my Labrador, qualified to be one of their education dogs. And as I mentioned, I have joined their pet grief group because even though I lost Buddy in 2018, oh my goodness, I still miss and mourn him. Many thanks to Paul for that wonderful advice. Oh yes, I said I'd tell you about a Christmas decoration mishap one of our dogs had. Well, it was many years ago, and my mum decided to adorn the Christmas tree with lametta strands, which are very thin, individual, fairly short pieces of tinsel. A few days after doing it, she noticed that all the lower branches of the tree had been denuded of the strands, and only the upper limbs were still bedecked with the thin, twinkly, sparkly strands. We soon worked out that her German Shepherd, Ben, had eaten the lametta. Now, if that happened now, I'd be rushing him to the vet for a quick check. But as I say, this was back in the 1980s, and we knew a lot less then, and there wasn't the internet to alert us to all the doggy dangers. Luckily, Ben suffered no ill effects whatsoever. The tinsel strands simply passed straight through, and scooping the poop was very easy for a while, because it glittered and sparkled in a very festive fashion. If you've had a Christmas catastrophe or a merry mishap, I'd love to hear about it. If you have top tips on managing the Christmas chaos, I'd love to hear about that too. I can't believe we're nearing the end of 2025. It's been a year with ups and downs, twists and turns, and I hope it's gone smoothly for you. As we look towards 2026, I hope you have a faithful four-legged friend in your life. But hey, if you can't have a dog, at least you can have Dogcast Radio in your life. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, woofs and wags and lots of love. And until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. What's a dog lover's favourite Christmas snack? Candy canines.